coming to you from our new home at DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts. We are the Superflex Super Show. We talk QB values, Superflex strategies, evaluate and debate Superflex trades, plus our own twist on Superflex team management with exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, and You Are Nuts. So when you're done with this awesome DLF podcast, find us on Twitter at Superflex Show and join us in the discussion of the fastest growing format in all of fantasy football, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Meatloaf Wildcat, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Cousin Vito, and I got a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 106 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. But, Brian,
breaking news.
It's funny, like Brian said, like, I'm going to do a breaking news drop, and I had no idea where he was going to go with it. And then he started doing that duding thing. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. Okay. So breaking news, not only are we a member of the DLF family of podcasts, which we still are, love, and are proud to be, we are now members of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Boom. So yeah, we started a podcast network. I don't know why. I don't know, because I guess we just needed more stuff to do. That's what we really needed. That's what it is. But Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, Trade Addicts Podcast, the Dynasty Junkies with our Trade Addicts Bros, Dustin and Rocky, and the Fantasy Timeline with Josh Valentin and Bill McCarthy. That's our lineup for right now. We have a Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network YouTube channel where, if you were next week when we do our live show, that's where you'll catch us in YouTube. Just search for Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. I have to get used to saying the whole thing out loud. We've just been saying DAP Network, but you know that doesn't work right now because you have to actually go search. Also, I believe going forward when the Fantasy Timeline does their streaming, it will be coming from there as well. So everybody subscribe, set that little notification buttony thing, and you'll get all of our awesome, beautiful content with all of our awesome, beautiful faces. Yep, Brian doing that little hand on the face thing like he's smooth, because we know he is. Man, I ramble too much and I'm out of things to say. I don't know. I got really nothing. How are you doing, Brian? Like, we took a week off.
Yeah, man. No, I'm refreshed and I'm excited. I'm excited about the network, the DAP Network.
Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network.
Really excited for what we have in store ahead, and to work with the pods that are already part of what we're doing, and to work with future pods too, if we expand, which is the plan. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about all of it. It's been a conversation you and I've been having for a good while, and finally comes to fruition, and I'm very excited. So
yeah. Oh, and on Twitter at DAP_network is our Twitter handle. Brian told me he is going to be taking care of that account because I can't even handle our podcast account, so I'm not taking on another one. So man, that's all you.
Yep.
Other than that, yeah. So last week was our NFL draft show. What comes after the NFL draft? Your rookie drafts do, everybody. So this guy. Okay, so here's the thing. So I'm sitting at my desk one day. I'm working. I'm having a good time. And all of a sudden, I get a DM from Cousin Vito saying, "Hey, man, love your show. Can I come on your show?" Now, I'm from New Jersey. When a guy named Cousin Vito asks you for a favor, you don't say no. So I'm like, let me open my calendar book. We will get you in as soon as we possibly can.
Well, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show, because I've been on a little trade kick lately. We had the NFL draft. You watched that with your popcorn, my glass of scotch. And then it folds right into dynasty draft season, where then I get my – I'm going to hold up my paper for the Patreon, your Patreon subscribers here. I got my draft list. I'm crossing them out. I got my war room, my notebook. So I just finished my first big draft. I'm feeling great right now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, we're going to let the fine listeners out there learn a little bit about you. So how long, Cousin Vito, have you been playing fantasy football?
Fantasy football? Jeez, you know, I should have did a year count. When did it come out? The early 2000s? I was on Yahoo years ago, so that was when I first started college. So probably like the early 2000s. You know, I've always been a football junkie. I grew up on like NFL films. My father had the VHSs, so I was always in the classic, you know, Dick Butkus, Vince Lombardi. So I kind of got into it as a kid. I used to have the football magazines and used to do the mail-in fantasy stuff. Now, I didn't participate much in that because I was a little kid, but I've been doing it probably 15 years at least, or it's a 2020, at least 15, 20 years. Back when kick returner yards, I used to really kill the leagues with my kick returner yards.
Well, you're holding up that Devin Hester signed card. So if you're rocking that guy on your team, you know you were getting points for it.
Oh, yeah. So it must have been more than fifth because it was pre-Hester. Because it was back when you draft like the cornerback. Yeah, we used to have the defense, and the cornerbacks return yards would count. So you'd want to get the cornerbacks that return the kicks.
Nice. Oh man, those. Oh man.
So too long. Very long.
Very long time ago. So you are clearly a seasoned fantasy football player. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Actually, a very short time. Now, I love fantasy football, and I'm a football buff. So I even before Dynasty, I'd buy the draft books and the magazines, you know, and it'd be like, oh, here's all the running back prospects just to follow the Bears. So, you know, somebody started a keeper league, and I was like, oh, this is great. You know, I study for my drafts, and I do well. The keepers would be fun. And then over the past couple of years, it's been a natural progression where now it's like, I don't even want to be in the redraft leagues. I'm in like one of them, and all I want to do is Dynasty because I'm a casino guy. And dynasties, like you could make it, you could coach yourself into doing well. It's not a total crapshoot, you know, even though I love craps. It's, you know, you prepare for years and your little trades and your smart moves, they pay off. So we'll see. We'll see if I can make it a positive expected value. In the casino, we call it a positive EV is what I'm looking for here on the dynasty.
Oh, that's very much in the fantasy football world as well. And those analytics crews, shout out to Peter Howard. Okay, well, before we get into your best, worst trades and all of that stuff, why don't you tell people a little bit about your, you said you had a casino podcast, which unfortunately nowadays.
Struggling for content now. Yeah, I have a casino podcast. I've always been a big casino. You're a Jersey guy. So I'm from Southern Connecticut. I never went to Disneyland. My Disneyland was Atlantic City. We take the train down to Atlantic City, the boardwalk. So I went there as a kid. First time, you know, as a kid, there are all the casinos there. I played slot machines at 17. You know, you sneak in. I brought a suit down. I didn't get caught, but who did I think I was tricking? I'm dressed up in a suit as like a 17-year-old. But I played and I won. I won enough to get a salad at Caesar's Palace. And ever since that, Caesar salad, actually, too. That's a 17-year-old. I won money and I was like, I'm eating a Caesar salad at Caesar's Palace.
Damn right, man. That's such a baller thing for a 17-year-old.
And we were on like overlooking a balcony or something. It was really like a wonderful time. And, you know, it's a family thing. I've always loved it. I go out to Vegas, Mohegan Sun. I love craps. And the gambling podcast, the great thing about podcasting is you meet a lot of people. I mean, I've interviewed several guys who've won the World Series of Poker, Fossil Man, Daniel Negreanu. I've interviewed famous card counters, authors. So it's really been amazing. And it's opened up opportunities. I've spoke at travel conferences. That's the funny thing is the gambling's close to the travel hackers because we're all looking for something free. We're looking to try and have some fun, but get a lot of free stuff at the same time. So yeah, we will see. I've been doing good. I only go if the room's free now. Well, I'm lying. I'll go if the room's not free, but I hope the room's free.
All right. So speaking of always doing good, why don't you hit us with some of your best and also some of your worst trades you've made in your dynasty leagues lately?
Well, okay. All right. So here,
let's save your big boys because he's warned us that he has some big boy trades he's thinking about coming.
Yeah.
But let's hit some ones that you've.
We're gonna do a little Johnny Black neat here. No ice. This is warm. That's the kind of trades I'm gonna be talking about here. Is we got the warm scotch for this one. So I have two different leagues. I took over an orphan team. You know, I'm a nice guy. There was a team with no one to foster it, no one to nurture it.
Heart of gold.
So I took over this team. It actually was a very good team overall. It had the fifth and sixth of the first round. So the guy before me was doing something. Where he went, I don't know what happened to him. But they brought me in. It's a group full of strangers. So immediately, usually when you join an orphan team, there's all the sharks in the water sending you ridiculous trade requests to try and just see how stupid you are, if they could rip you off right at the beginning and get something from you. So, you know, I stood pat, and I'm actually, this is great because I need you guys to review this, because I have a trade I didn't do in my other league, and this is a trade I did do. So you could break my heart here. So I'm at the 5-6. And, you know, everyone's trying to move up. Do I Fournette for the 6? You know, a bunch of stuff where it's like, nothing's really too exciting. So then I open my inbox, and I have my the 1-5, the 1-6, this is 12-team PPR, one quarterback. Number 5, number 6 pick, and my third pick was in there too, and Allen Robinson, one of my receivers. Now, my receivers were pretty good. I got Debo, A.J. Brown, Juju, Brandon Cooks, I can make a case for that this year. But so I'm like, okay, you know, that side of the trade I could live with. What I got back, what he sent me was Miles Sanders and Davante Adams for the 1-5, 1-6, and Allen Robinson. So I was really torn. It's draft season. Who wants to give up two draft picks in the middle of the first round, you know? But my team, I Brandon Cooks is my main running back. You know, I brought Madison. I needed a running back. If I'm going to contend, my receivers, I could contend. So I was like, you know what? I'll get my Miles Sanders, take my Davante Adams, even though I'm a Bears fan, you know. I don't like Trubisky, so that was kind of like, let me just not even have to root for the guy. But, I mean, I like him. That's horrible to say. But I wouldn't mind if he retired a millionaire and let somebody else take over. Let's put it that way. Nothing bad against the guy. So I said yes to this. And, you know, it's a good trade, like an even trade, when you kind of have – you're skittish. After you do it, you're like, do I want to throw up or do I want to celebrate?
Yes.
And, you know, I put it to Twitter. I put it to Facebook. And – the majority seemed to like the players, take the proven commodities, because you didn't know who was going to fall. 5 or 6, it ended up being the guy took Swift and Dobbins, and I could have got Swift and Lamb at 5-6. So I was kind of sad that that's how it turned out. But you guys are the trade addicts. What would you do in that position? New to a league, I have a team that's set to win this year. Oh, and it's a tight end premium at 1.5 PPR, and I should actually bring the team up so I can nail it for you. But I have Fant, Hunter Henry. I had another nice Goddard on the team. So the team is like, I don't know where the guy went. I don't know if he is in the witness protection, but the team was abandoned, and I went for the win now trade. Guys, I'm gonna sip my scotch. What would you have done? 1-5, 1-6, Allen Robinson for Sanders and Adams.
Yeah, so I'm going to take this one because there's two Penn State players involved, which makes this difficult on me. No, I would absolutely have done that deal, especially if you're in win now mode for Sanders and Davante Adams. I mean, if you look at this and say, you know, I mean, I think Allen Robinson and Miles Sanders are probably this might get some people pretty fired up, but I think they're probably similar in value.
Oh. That hurts my feelings, actually.
Okay. But Davante Adams for two mid firsts. I mean, okay. Look, Sanders probably holds more value than A-Rob does.
Yeah. If I'm going to be doing a flip type of thing.
So, right. So, I mean, like I said, I personally think they're a lot closer because I'm higher on Allen Robinson than a lot of people are. I mean, I think this guy is an alpha dog, number one wide receiver. And if he had a quarter, he hasn't had a quarterback, an NFL caliber quarterback throw him the ball literally since he was a freshman at Penn State. I mean, there's no NFL. Christian Hackenberg's the best quarterback he's ever played with. And that's saying something. Okay.
No, it's true.
So you know, I think Allen Robinson is a little bit better than everybody else does. I value him a little bit higher. Having said that, I think Sanders, in the community's eyes, Sanders holds more value than Allen Robinson. And Devonta, I'm paying 105 and 106 for Devonta Adams every day of the week. It doesn't matter.
In one
what,
QB, so yes, easy.
He's so right,
okay,
easy.
Okay, thank you. Please, You absolutely rocked that trade.
Yeah, you crushed
rocked
that
it.
That's one of those ones you do the trade, and then you go look at your team on your phone, and you're like, yeah, I like the way that looks.
And especially if you look at, think about it this way, like before the draft, like even after, like, how the hell did Swift and Dobbins fall to 5 and 6?
The guy took Judy. I was shocked myself. I was like,
I'm sitting here counting on my fingers. So what, like Akers and Swift Judy and went?
It was Swift, Akers, and Lamb were like the three guys that I might have taken there because I needed running back help. If I didn't trade Allen Robinson, I was set at running back with Judy. You know, I don't know how the guy had Debo, AJ Brown, Juju. He had all these great young receivers. So, you know, it was tough. Okay. So that wasn't my worst trade then. I felt good about it, but you know, when the draft happens and it was one of those slow email drafts, so I had no picks. So I was trying to trade back in. And actually I did make a curious pick that I kind of also want. This was the same draft. So I traded my third round pick and tight end premium and free agents were in the draft pool. So everyone's taking, I want this running back. Oh, they're all taking their rookies. And I'm looking at the free agents here and I'm like, all right, we got Blake Jarwin on this free agent thing, sitting on the top of the free agents. It's, you know, I'm not in love with the guy, but he's a tight end, an NFL tight end signed to a good team for a 4-year deal, just signed. His competition went and left, and he's sitting there on waivers. If that guy's walking into a tight end premium league, don't you want to take him early? You know what I mean? He's a tight end starting to just have on my bench. So I traded back in. Nobody would trade with me. I was offering 20-21 seconds to get into the third round. Everyone was shutting me out. And this one guy who had a ton of picks was like, look, I don't even have room on my roster for this third round. Be it like 3-7 or 3-8. He's like, I don't have room on my roster. You just want to give me a 20-21 third. You could take the pick. So I did it. And I even typed in the group thing. I was like, I don't know if I'm missing something here, but Blake Jarwin is off the board. So I got him in the third round. To me, it felt like a huge victory. In a 1.5 PPR tight end to get, you know, seemingly the incumbent starter in Dallas. I mean, so I feel good. My draft, I walked away with Miles Sanders, Devonta Adams, and Blake Jarwin in the tight end premium. So I'm gonna drink that, actually.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely take a sip. But we need to talk about Jerry O'Shea right now, the man who runs our Trade Addicts Twitter account. In this chat, just typed Miles Sanders over the 101.
Wow, Jerry, I like that.
I love you, but pump those brakes, buddy.
Oh, here we go. I see the live comments here. Thank you, Jerry. That's what I felt like. I was like, if somebody sent Miles Sanders for those two picks, I would have scratched and thought about it because I needed the running back to produce so bad. And then with Devonta Adams, I was like, you know, I'll take some icing on this cake, I guess.
No, yep, you took that. All right, so come on. You have to hit us with something bad that happened. You have to have done something bad.
You know what the problem is I wish I had like a real terrible one for you guys because I've moved from redraft to keeper to dynasty. So I've only been doing dynasty a couple of years. I really haven't had a trade where I've had anything terrible because I've drafted my teams kind of recently. So you know what I mean? I haven't been in a situation where I was like, all right, this is a real leap of faith. I'm really buying somebody young or somebody old. So I don't have any glaringly terrible ones. You know, a lot of them are like you put a lot of thought into a trade like, oh, this guy for like a second rounder and this guy and everything stinks. And then you're like, wow, we both lost. You know, I've had those.
One day you're going to make a trade. 2 days later, something awful is going to happen. And you're just gonna be like, nope, let me DM Russ right now. I'm going to let him know. And then I will read it on that show. The next show that comes up, I'm going to let everyone know your bad trade.
I did make one I had regret for that now actually sounds good again is I traded Melvin Gordon at the beginning of last year before the holdout for George Kittle straight up in a league. And the league was kind of like, what are you doing? You're trading a great running back for a tight end. And now a year later, I'm feeling okay. You know, I'm okay with it. I got other running backs. I never found another George Kittle lying around. So it worked out okay.
You can take a sip of your Johnny Black after that one, too.
Oh, look at that. All right. Well, I'm going to take a real big gulp because I don't know if it's okay. I know you want to talk about my trades I've done, but I have two offers in my inbox for a 101. This is it's a 10-team PPR. So, I mean, I guess weigh that into the roster construct. But, you know, three flex is nothing too crazy. One quarterback. So I have the 101, and I've been, you know, teasing everybody now with Clyde Edwards-Helaire gifts and things like that. You know, the stats of Andy Reid's fantasy running backs. So I've been working. The guy has a third pick and the eighth pick. So he offered me my 1-1 and my 2-6. So obviously I did a bunch of trading. Neither of those picks were mine at the beginning. So the first pick and the 16th pick for the third pick, the eighth pick in a third round, I think the 29th pick. And I almost did it instantly. And then I'm sitting back and I'm saying, is, you know, I'm taking the middle of that third and eight, technically getting a better guy at eight. And I feel like the drop off from Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't bad. And I have the number two pick. So I'm getting to Taylor. So I'm not totally trading out of those top running backs, but I'm looking at these stats and I'm trying to juice everyone up to trade me. And I got the offer and I couldn't push, you know, accept because, you know, I was like two first. So then I'm talking to my buddy and I'm like, oh yeah, I got this trade for the two picks, bragging about it. Then in my inbox, the 101 for the 105 and Debo straight, just 101 for 105 and Debo, both sitting in my inbox right now. That and the two first rounders. I don't know what to do. I'm teasing both these guys. It's like I'm in this, you know, I'm cheating on two trade partners in this romance here. And I don't know if I'm just going to reject both of them, guys.
So they're both accepts for me pretty easily.
Okay.
Which would you prefer?
Did I hear you correctly? You said you have the 102 as well?
I have the 102. I finished like just outside the playoffs.
Okay.
I don't have any glaring weaknesses. In a quarterback, I got Wentz, Garoppolo, and Tannehill. So that you could argue that the bottom could fall out of that.
Is this a super flex league?
Non-super flex.
Okay. So if you made the trade with the swap of the picks, so the one without Debo in it, you'd have 102, 103, 108, and you pick up a third.
Yeah, and I'd have like a 3 third rounders. And it's a 10 team, so the 3 third rounders, you know, it's kind of like they're sneaking into the second round.
It's that one. And for me, it's pretty easily.
Really? What worries me is
you might get Edwards-Helaire anyways.
No, the guy's a Chiefs fan. The number three, that's why I've been goading him. He's a Chiefs guy, and I knew that like the second it happened, I was like, oh, he's gonna want the 1-1 now.
If I was you, what I'd try to do is drop the third and the second out of the deal.
So trade
the 101 for the 103 and the 108 if you can, and maybe throw him a third
because that's been really the deal breaker. Is losing that second where I'm like, you know, at eight in this league, I don't think Lammer is going to fall. Judy's probably not going to fall. I'll be at eight. Maybe I'll be taking eight or Akers. Maybe if he probably won't even slip, I'm probably going to be saying Ruggs or Rager. And it's like, I could just be at 16 and have Clyde Edwards-Helaire who I don't know. I don't know the difference between Helaire and because basically here's how it's going. We got Helaire's going first. Both guys want Helaire. Yep. I'm taking Taylor second, most likely, because I want a running back who's going to be running out the gate for me this year. And at three, I was leaning Dobbins. I mean,
I'll take hot take. Dobbins over Edwards-Helaire.
Really?
This year?
Yeah. Next? No, not this year. This is a dynasty league, correct?
He said he needed his running back scoring out the gate. So I thought you meant this.
Well, I mean, I have Sanders and Josh Jacobs starting. So it's you'll be fine. But that
you're
going to
have Jonathan Taylor too. So you'll be fine. Yeah.
True.
Taylor at two, Dobbins at three, and either Rager or Jerry Jeudy or whoever falls to eight, you know, pick up a wide receiver too. I would do that. Honestly, I wouldn't even tinker too much with that deal. I think I'd probably take that. What do you think, Russ? You haven't really chimed in on this one.
Okay. It's a tough one, right?
Here's my thing. Like, value, like what you said before, Brian said, if you can get it strictly for the 101 for the 103 and 108, I take that.
He's being a little tough on me here because I've even tried to, I have a 301. So I was like, instead of the 2-6, let me just give you the 3-1. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. And that's been like a real sticking point for some reason.
How many teams is this? You said this 10. Is the 10 team league?
10 teams. So, the, I mean, 30 man rosters, you know, it's tough because. Is a layer, you know, I was looking at all those Andy Reid stats. But there was a chart with like Andy Reid's running back finishes and PPR for like his whole coaching career. And it's like unbelievable to see all the top 10 finishes for these running backs. And it's like, you know, Mahomes is saying, go get Clyde. Who am I not to take Clyde?
I mean, yeah, whatever. To be fair, I could end up with Taylor or Edwards-Helaire and just be happy about it. Like, I'd just be thrilled. I got an awesome running back. I don't really have a super preference.
So we're ruling out the Debo trade, though. We think we're going to rule out the Debo. Now, no, the Debo owner also said he would do the 105 and AJ Brown. Does that change anything?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that changes it. That changes it real fast.
Okay, because he seemed like wishy-washy. He would do. He was like, see, he must be really high on Debo. Because when I said, "I'll take AJ," because I already have Kittle and Garoppolo. I was and Mostert. I was like, I don't need any more Niners. And he was like, "Oh, you take AJ Brown instead?" And I was like,
"I would accept that." You need to go tell him right now that AJ Brown. If he will do the 105 and AJ Brown for the 101, you will do it right now. Right now, like because like right think now, about it. You're trading, while you're on the show, make the trade.
I mean, let's pretend that only running backs go like Edwards, Hilaire, Taylor, Swift, Dobbins, Akers. You're gonna end up with one of those three at the end.
Yes.
Swift, Dobbins, or Akers. And there's also a chance, like you said, that CeeDee Lamb goes or Jerry Jeudy goes if someone goes a little crazy. So you're gonna get a very good running back, and you're getting AJ Brown.
I know. And at the five, if all the running backs go and I have Akers, I could take Lamb. I like the Dallas landing spot, not to get off on a tangent, but I like that. Everyone's gonna have to worry about Zeke and worry about Cooper. He's gonna be able to work on his stuff, get his few targets a game, and hopefully have a nice floor as a rookie wide receiver where, you know, a lot of the guys who take over at one or two, they're just overwhelmed by the NFL cornerbacks. Yeah. You know, so
and we got a Niners fan in the chat saying, go take AJ Brown.
There you go. Oh, well, you know, I'll send that. And actually, he also offered up. I might send the running. He has Darrell Henderson on his bench. So I told him, I was like, you know what? If you give me Henderson, I'll give him a middling running back. Because then if I get Akers, I got his handcuff. I was like, well, that'll make me want the 105 more. So if maybe I'll try and I got the phone up right now.
Here's one thing. And this is Trade Addicts podcast 101 right here. There comes a point in trade negotiations where you need to stop tinkering. If you get AJ Brown in the 105 for the 101, you need to run away and go and sell. You drink that whole damn bottle tonight, brother. If you get the 105 and AJ Brown for 101,
I can do it if I have to.
That trade is so good for you. So over the top good for you. It you don't need to tinker and add Henderson. Do the Henderson stuff after you secure the AJ Brown deal.
Okay, all right. And I mean,
it's that good.
Yeah, you can always do the Henderson thing later.
And is it good enough where I could say, oh, I'll throw you a third round this year, maybe like a third, because he's one of those guys that's already expelled his draft capital. He has this pick. He has like a fourth round pick this year. He's traded his first next year. So to him, these draft picks are worth more than they would be to somebody with a whole team together, you know?
Yep.
So maybe loosen him up.
If you think that gets it done, then yeah, I'd throw a third in easily.
Man, now I got even more to think about. I shouldn't even mention the AJ Brown part.
Stop thinking, bro. Just go do it.
But that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, what if it's the new Brian Westbrook? Give him away?
And Andy Reid said he was better than Brian Westbrook.
What if he's Kadrona Carter?
He
blows his knee out in the first week. I mean, and look,
why
I know
would
we
you
can't
say
play
that out.
I'm
loud,
just saying. Dude. I'm just saying. I mean, everybody thinks that Edwards-Helaire. So here's my problem. Here's my problem with Edwards-Helaire. I'll spell it out for you. I love the landing spot. Okay. But it would not have mattered. If it was Edwards-Helaire, he's RB1. If it's Dobbins, he's RB1. If it's Swift, he's RB1. So who was your RB1 before the landing spot? Because if he wasn't your RB1 before the landing spot ain't going to make him that much better. It's going to make him better. Don't get me wrong. Kareem Hunt going to the Miami Dolphins is different than Kareem Hunt going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Absolutely. Okay. Back in a couple years ago. But Edwards-Helaire, look, these other guys are talented backs too. You're not that drop off. I'm telling you, it blows my mind. Edwards-Helaire jumped Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is he's far and away the best running back in this class. I'm sorry. People can argue that, whatever. You're wrong. I think you're wrong. Jonathan Taylor's the best running back in this class. And he landed in an amazing freaking spot offensive line that drives people back. And one of the best offensive linemen in the league in Nelson. So, I mean, Jonathan Taylor could not ask for a better landing spot. And Edwards-Helaire jumped him. That makes zero sense to me. Zero sense to me.
I just it's that Andy Reid. It's the Reid effect. We're all entranced.
Speaking of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I just accepted a trade. Someone offered me the 102 for the 105 and 209. This is a flex league, so it's a little different.
Oh yeah.
Okay. No, that's Jonathan nice. Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor went 101. I don't need a quarterback, and I just kind of wanted a running back. So.
Oh wait, you're going running back now?
Well, I have the 102 and 103, but I also have three starting quarterbacks, and it's best ball. So I don't. I'm going to try and trade after I select Helaire.
Taylor went one. Woo.
Taylor went one. Yes. No, I would have taken Taylor.
DEH at two. That's fine. I'm okay with him at two. I would take Dobbins, but I'm okay with him at two.
See, but then that brings back the three and the eight where I could get Taylor, Dobbins. I don't know. I'm torn. I'm jeez.
AJ Brown.
AJ Brown. Oh, yeah, you know, do you really just you need to stop overthinking that?
I'm gonna try and send it over. Maybe he'll accept while I'm on the show. Imagine that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Keep your eye on those notifications because we need to do a little dance if he accepts that.
We are sending it over as we speak. So yeah, so I don't best and worst trades. I might be making my best trade right now, guys. Thanks to you.
All right. This is exciting, man. This is the way to start off a show right here. Talking trade offers right off the bat, man.
We're doing it live, too. Oh, it'd be great if I could get this done on the show. Let's see. Here we go. The Atlantic City Stumble Bums.
Stumble Bums.
Yeah, you know, wanted to name the team after myself. All right. So, guys, I got to thank you for the help on there because that really – changed my and I did, you know what else is weird? I gotta say, you guys are on Twitter and stuff. I did a poll on Facebook and a poll on Twitter for several different trades over the past few weeks. Every time Twitter and Facebook have gave me different results. I don't know,
don't trust Facebook.
It's you know, good advice in all of them, but they're never the same for some reason. It's like two different breeds of dynasty player are in the different social media networks.
Go ahead, Russ. Sorry.
Yeah, I've never found Facebook as a good place for fantasy football advice. I'm just going to put that out there.
Agreed.
We really like AJ Brown, huh? I guess we're going to do this here. You know, my thing is I have Tannehill on my squad, so I like AJ Brown. You know, I was watching Tannehill a lot, so I love him. But I don't know. There's something that worries me about Tannehill. Like, he's just going to flush it all down the toilet like normal, you know? That's my only fear.
I don't think he'll be what he was last year. That efficiency was just out the roof. I don't know what the hell I was trying to say there, but it was way too high. He was way too efficient. So it's going to drop a little bit, but I mean, AJ Brown was people's wide receiver one until everyone really went nuts on the landing spot. So don't overthink it. You're overthinking it. You know what? You do that. We have one thing this show that is not rookie draft related.
Okay.
Brian wants to rant about something. So let's look main event and then go.
Main event. Yeah, so Russ reached out yesterday. I mean, we talk all the time, but we were talking yesterday and
all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And
I just wanted to emphasize
and asking me if there's anything I, you know, was interested in talking about, if there's anything specific. Actually, you didn't even ask me. I think I just came to you and was like, listen, I got something to talk about.
I'm gonna pretend that I was the nice guy here and I said, hey Brian, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, but you weren't.
I wasn't. It was definitely you just said, hey, I want to talk about this.
So,
but okay, go.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, when you do a podcast and you have a presence online, that you get a ton of questions. We all get a ton of questions, right? So you get them in the DMs, you get them in the polls, you get tagged in the polls, all of that stuff. I enjoy that for the most part. I also think it's appropriate for people to step away at times. I'm combining things too. That I want to talk about.
So, you did right there. I saw that.
I did. Yes, I did. So just, you know, people, it's okay to not answer every Twitter poll or every DM the second it comes in or within an hour or whatever. Like, take care of yourself. That part is over. So there's been something that has been coming up in DMs and in polls that I've noticed lately, and it's trading young studs. So,
like trading me.
Like an AJ Brown, like trading an AJ Brown, you're talking about.
Yeah, sure. Trading AJ.
Wait,
Brown.
Hold on. I was calling myself a young stud. Don't change.
We totally ignore it. We just totally ignored it. Oh yeah, but especially quarterbacks. But even running backs. You know, obviously Saquon. Everybody knows my affinity for Saquon Barkley. But so here's my thing. My mic is literally, my mic stand just broke. This is awesome. I'm going to get to hold my mic the entire night.
Freddie Mercury style. Just hold it up. Go for it.
Oh, don't, it's
you
back.
You better start talking because I am not editing this out.
Okay. So, yeah. So young studs. I've noticed a lot of people who like to trade young studs, and I don't get it. I don't get it. You come into a Patrick Mahomes, the word that gets thrown around all the time is regression, right? Regression.
Mm-hmm.
So Patrick Mahomes goes out his first year starting in the league and he throws for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards or whatever it was. He's the league MVP. This year it's Lamar Jackson. He goes out and he's just all otherworldly, right? Well, there's gotta be regression. There's gonna be regression, okay? Yes, likely so.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of fantasy football is not to like every look. I've been around long enough. I know all the concepts, right? I'm saying that very humbly. I'm not saying it arrogantly. I understand trying.
No, let Meatloaf Wildcat out.
I understand trying to sell assets at their peak value. But here's mm-hmm. the reality of the situation. You're never going to get that value. You're never going to get it. Not without taking on risk. Okay? So, we wait our entire dynasty lives for a guy like Patrick Mahomes or a guy like Lamar Jackson or a guy like Saquon Barkley. Okay? Now they're a year or two into their career and they're 23 years old. And especially the non-running backs. I understand the running back argument. If we want to leave them out of this discussion because of that and because of the short lifespan of the running back, fine. I don't have a problem. Let's leave the running backs out. But, you know, people talking about trading receivers that are 23 and 24 years old or trading quarterbacks that are 22. Well, I got to capitalize because there's nowhere to go but down from here. Two things. Number one, you don't know that for sure. And number two, the reality is those guys don't have to produce at that same elite, all otherworldly Hall of Fame, crazy ass season level for them to pay off and win you fantasy leagues. How long do we wait for one of these guys to come along? And then we trade Pat Mahomes. Why? I mean, if you have other needs and you can get Deshaun Watson too and add a stud wide receiver or running back or depth or whatever you need, I would never trade. I don't trade elite players for depth either. That's another off subject thing, but I understand. Okay. So you get a Watson and a young Watson and Cortland Sutton for Patrick Mahomes or something like that. And it, because you absolutely need a receiver, fine, no issue. Okay. But if you're trading Patrick Mahomes for the 102 or even the 101, Joe Burrow and Josh Jacobs. No, stop. I don't understand the rationale. Again, I get the whole idea of trying to capitalize on maximum value and all of that fun stuff. You know, we search forever for these guys, for these elite assets. We search for guys that can do what those guys do on a consistent basis every single week. And to me, it doesn't make sense to move those guys when they're 22 years old. Now, you get down the road and Mahomes is 28, 29, 30 years old, and you feel like you've got to get out from under him because he's old, because he has a 3 in front of the second number instead of a 2. Fine. Do what you want. But at 22 years old, I don't get it. So that's my rant.
I loved it.
You know what it is? You know, because I lurk on the polls on there. You see people doing stuff. What gets me is when it's like, oh, you know, somebody offered me Barkley for the 105, a 2021 this, a 2022 that. And for me, you have the stud. You got him. You hit the lottery. You got Barkley. What are you looking for in 2022? It's like, win some money. That's my thing. When I go into every season, I say, can I win some money? And if I say definitely not, then I start saying, all right, well, how do we make it so we can win money next year? You know, maybe I'm crazy. My whole thing is about the money, guy scoring the points, making some money. And then, you don't cut yourself. You don't, say I'm going to give 2 firsts for Julio Jones tomorrow just to get some points. But it's like the stock market. The trading is, that's the way I look at it. Trading is like the stock market. You buy low. Oh, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, he really stinks. All right, I'll give you a 4th for him. You know what I mean? You get those guys that on their low, and when you're selling your guy on the high, it's like Barkley can go higher. You're selling the stock before you cashed in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't realize that you won. Why are you cashing out? Like Brian said before, chances are, unless you spent like 6 firsts to go get Saquon Barkley, chances are you didn't overpay for him. Like, you used a 101 on him. And imagine just getting Barkley for a 101 and getting the points from Saquon. Like, I get it. It is May. We are in the heat of the non-point scoring season, so no one's really thinking about, Saquon's going to score me 300-400 points this coming season. No one like stops to think like, oh yeah, I need to win in the fantasy football season.
But like, it's 2022 firsts I'm getting.
Exactly. Like, it's, I mean, man, we're the Trade Addicts podcast. I get it. But sometimes you don't need to trade it. You don't trade something else if you feel the itch. Like, I mean, there's better things to do. I mean, if you're like Brian, if you have the need, if your team is just stud and dud and you want some depth, then yeah, drop back a couple of places at quarterback from Mahomes to Watson, Russell Wilson. I mean, don't go back to Sam Darnold, because that is way too risky, though I do like Darnold. Just saying, I do like Darnold, but that's not the point. Like, don't just cash out because it's like the cliche thing to do, because that's like what we, you sell high. Yeah, his value can't get any higher. But the thing is, especially at quarterback and especially at wide receiver, again, we can really just throw running backs out the window, because that's what I do with them anyway. These guys are going to be doing it for a long time. Like, okay, not everyone's Julio Jones, but like, imagine selling Julio Jones at 24, 25. He's going to be 35 and still doing it.
Right. And yeah, who did you get? You traded him. You probably drafted Ronald Jones a couple of years ago. This other pick, the guy who got Julio, you're probably getting a late round pick anyway. It's like, who are you really replacing him with? Oh, I got a trade update.
Nope.
He's backpedaling on the AJ Brown. Oh. He's offering the 105 Henderson, and scary Terry McLaurin. Now he wants to put in there instead of AJ Brown.
Not doing it. I need that stud power of AJ Brown.
Yeah. So now, I'm leaning towards the 103, 108 now. If I could get the 102 out of there, I think he's such a stickler. This guy. God.
Just tell him no and see what he says too. Because sometimes people backpedal like that, and then you're like, nope, that ain't gonna do it. And then he'll come back.
AJB, he's the non-starter. If he needs to be involved for this to happen, and then just leave it at that.
Yep.
Hang on, I got to put over Andy Reid first. I'm going to post the picture of all Andy Reid's running back points, actually.
Nice.
No, just start posting pictures of Andy Reid in his awesome Hawaiian shirts. Just that. Don't no notes, no memes, no nothing. Just Andy Reid in his Hawaiian shirts.
We'll see. I'm going to throw one of those in there, actually, also.
Okay, so let's go back to all of our rookie talk, our rookie draft talk. We have 8 Trade Addicts leagues, which means we have 8 Trade Addicts leagues rookie drafts. We have 4 in the books so far. Okay, commissioners out there, let me give you a little helpful hint. Is not the right word. I can't think of it. Let me help you out a little bit. Space your drafts out.
Oh, please.
I did not do that last year, and I had, like, last year there were 7. There were 7 leagues last year, and I had 7 running at once, not to mention the 15 other leagues I'm in. It was kind of hell. It was too much. So what I did this year was, like I said, 8 leagues. I started 2 on Monday, 2 on Thursday of each week. And of course, both in multiple leagues, people come in like, why are we waiting? Why don't we just start it now without the clock? And I'm just like, fine, because I don't want to be that guy that, whatever, that's fine. Let's do it. So, yeah, they overlap a little bit, but still, it's just so much better spacing things out. I know we're excited. That's really it. I know we're excited, but no, it's not worth it. It's too much. It's you got to space it out. Let the fun last past May 5th. I mean, just let it go, man.
Yeah. So, and I have a comment on this too. So people, I've seen a lot and I've seen comments even just today on Twitter about people ghosting drafts, like later rounds, like third and fourth rounds, or people just like are missing picks and stuff. This is why, because they're in 17 drafts at the same damn time. And look, there's no excuse for that. And at the same time, I'm the 37-year-old man with a kid and a family, and I got shit to do. And if I miss a fourth round pick because I'm stressed out and don't have time to grab my phone and hear my spouse complain about it again, or because, you know, because I'm playing in the backyard with my kid or something like that, it's space the drafts out. This happens every year, every single year. Russ, I really appreciate, seriously, I really, really appreciate what you did this year. This was very, very helpful. We're still drafting only a week and a half after the NFL draft, but you spread out the start times, and it's very helpful. It keeps two or three leagues. I mean, you said there's eight and we're through four. So it keeps, you know, it keeps us spread out in the sense. And look, we have other leagues too that aren't Trade Addicts leagues. We do, because we're Dynasty Addicts.
Sounds like a good name for a podcast network.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, I'm very grateful of that. And I wish more of my commissioners would do it. We do this every single year, every single year. We're done with drafts by May the 15th. And then we sit here and twiddle our damn thumbs until August.
Yeah. You're bored until training camp. You know what? It's a lot like my casino philosophy, actually, with the Dynasty is, you go to a craps table, you have a good craps run, I have a few cocktails, I might have won 100, lost 100. Take a break, because it's going to be more fun if I don't play that second hour and I come back a little later, I'll be refreshed. I'll be able to, I won't be pushing all my chips in all the time or want to see something really crazy happen because I already did this and I'm a little bit bored.
Yep.
I feel like that's, you get that draft. Like, I'm a trade addict. We talked about this. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I took over this orphan team. I must have sent out 100 trade offers to try to get back in for that Blake Jarwin I was talking about. I was trying to trade into the second round to get Jarwin. People took the rookie tight ends over Jarwin. So I spent like 2 days getting rejected. Mm-hmm. Then I'm starting to like go on tilt and like I'm trying to overpay people for stupid picks to get Blake Jarwin. And they still weren't biting because the psychology, I feel like, of all my trade offers, they're like, screw this guy. I'm not even taking his 2022nd for this third round pick. And what I needed to do was take a step back, breathe, and then the draft worked itself out. And somebody came walking to me after, you know what I mean? I was in that point where I'm in these trade negotiations with the other guy. I'm trying to get Jarwin, where it's nice to have let it spread out and simmer. It's like a nice meal. Would you want all seven courses at once? You had Gordon Ramsay steak at the Paris casino in Vegas. Do I want it all? Do I want my Wellington with my shrimp cocktail with my dessert? It's like, no, I want, give me a little dessert. Give me my maybe a little foie gras. Get my champagne out. Bring the steak cart over. You know, it makes it so. And then when you're done, you're like, I really, really enjoyed that meal. Where you eat it all fast, you're like, well, that was a waste of time and money. I could have did that at McDonald's.
Yeah, especially because, how many leagues are you in, by the way? Just the two?
No, I'm in like, I'm on the border of a couple of redrafts that I might not go back in, but I'm like in the 5-6 range. And generally redraft, like once I get to 3 or 4, I'm kind of like mailing it in on like the ones that are like, you know, a $20, you know what I mean? My league's priority usually take, you know, it's the money and then like the bragging factor are all factor in together. And then, you know, whoever's the lowest paying and the least bragging factor, they get like, oh, I had a guy on a Thursday night. Damn it. I should have looked at that stupid. And you know, one thing I did do, I've been weaning down the different platforms I play on.
Yes.
So
smart move.
I'm only doing right now, you know, and this isn't to say which platform's better. Right now, I'm only going to either do ESPN or I do the MFL app right now because I have my brag leagues on there. The customization's nice. And once you get used to like the clunky app and like the you know, the MS-DOS website they have up there, once you get used to all that stuff, or no, I'm not thinking, is it, no, not DOS, not HTML, it's one of those primitive programming things. We did the draft, we started a new one, so like new people joined the Dynasty MFL. All the criticism we got for the draft about the the interface, you know, it was like, I don't know what to tell you. Open the ESPN app and look at the guys. What do you want? What do you want from me? It's about the dynasty's longitudinal. It's not about your draft today. It's about your draft 3 years from now that you did today.
Yeah, we are an MFL podcast. And yes, we also believe in getting them down to as few platforms as you can. But like I was saying before, Brian and I, we're in the 20s when it comes to leagues.
As dynasty too, everything lasts forever. All your mistakes. So it's like, you always got to be like, all right, let me, I have a side question. Trade calculators, guys. Uh-huh. Do you guys use them? Do you not use them? Do you have ones you prefer? Cause I have my own philosophy, but I'm curious to hear like what real, you know, dynasty trade addicts do with the trade calculators.
Well, I 100% use them. I use them, you know, while we were doing the show, I was trying to negotiate for that 102 pick that I didn't end up getting, or that I did end up getting. Really funny story. I was trying to get the 102. I got super outbid, and like, I get it, the trade this guy got. And then that guy right away flipped the 102, where I ended up getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But when I was first trying to get the 102 from the original owner, like, I was throwing stuff in there, especially because like, quarterback, when you're sending away a quarterback and not getting one back, it's very tough. And when you're dealing with trade with picks, it also is very tough. So just to make sure you're on a level that isn't
insane, you're not in outer space,
I love just using it for ideas, making sure I'm not crazy. That's my biggest basis for using calculators. I'm a big fan of the Dynasty Trade Calculator. But hey, this is a Dynasty League Football Family podcast. The DLF Trade Analyzer is wonderful. I'm a very big fan of that too. So those are the two I go to. They are also both paywalled. So if you're not into that, I don't really know what to tell you. But
the free ones are like you shouldn't, you know, all they do is ruin people's perception, because you'll send a trade to somebody who's using one of the free ones they Google, and everything's all screwed up on the thing. They don't update it, and it's like, it's almost a detriment sometimes to your trade things, because people will send me and they'll be like, oh, look, this is the trade calculator says this. And it's like, hey, because I'm a sicko. I subscribe to that one. I do the Dominator. I'm like, you know, you got to spend money to make money, guys. I guess I guess that's what I'm doing here.
No, yeah, they are absolutely a part of the game, and I love them. Like, I'm a fan of them. I will never use them as law, as Bible, or whatever phrase you want to use.
It's but a tool.
Be part
a
of the
tool,
game.
Bob, correct. It's your tool. You do your polls. You talk to your confidants. You look up your rankings. Put the trade calculator.
Exactly.
And then the summation of all that, you average it all together, and that's how you feel about your trade.
Okay, yep. So yeah, I was just going to complain that when you have 20 something leagues and 10 drafts going at the same time, sometimes you don't even remember what you're thinking of a different team when you start drafting people. So yeah, like, it's so nice to have them spread out a bit. But let's reel this back in a little bit, and let's spend a few minutes talking about the Trade Addicts ADP, which is where this conversation sort of started. So this is four leagues. Well, I guess let's just start it now. Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end, premium. And this draft is turning out to be a lot more chalk than I thought it would. Like, at first, it seemed like the first 7-8 picks would just be exactly what you thought, and then there would be kind of mayhem, because there's like a very large tier of people, but it all seems to be going really, really kind of the same everywhere, with very little movement. So we're just going to walk through, and you'll just kind of tell me if you think there's anything that like wows you or is out of place. We're going to start with the first four, which are the first four: Burrow, Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tua.
Yes.
Say it, Brian.
Yes. There's something that is out of place.
Say it.
Tua Tagovailoa should be the number two pick in this draft.
Look, I get it. Jonathan Taylor is awesome. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is good. His landing spot is awesome. Quarterbacks are more valuable in super flex leagues. The cheapest you will ever get a quarterback is in the drafts.
Amen.
Okay, let me tell you a story. Let me regale you with a tale of value in a draft versus value afterwards. Our boy, FF Trader Joe. Thank you, Joe, for the graphics for the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, Hard Hands. So he drafts Tua, and then we're going back and forth with trades, and this is Trade Addicts 3. I don't necessarily need a quarterback at all, but, you know, value, fun stuff. He's telling me that he has Tua and Kelce pretty much very close to even. He recognizes that Kelce's worth more, but their trajectories are so different. that he thinks that they're pretty much close. Now, I'm like, dude, you just got Tua at the 104, and you're going to tell me Kelsey's worth the 104? He's like, nah, man, that draft's over. This is gone. This is what Tua's worth. And I'm like, whoa, you are right, and I'm sorry. Yes, like, I was very short-sighted, and I was wrong. Like, but he's right. Like, Tua isn't the 104. He's like, that's not his value. He's not worth other things you would get with the 104 right now. I mean, I got Tua drafted at the 308 at a startup. Like, I'm way too lazy to pull up ADP, which I usually have open, which I just screwed that one up. But, like, think about who's going around in the third freaking round. DJ Moore? I mean, like, think of it. Like, that's, it's so, like, get these quarterbacks now. Yeah, there's a chance, you know, Jonathan Taylor ends up in the second round. A chance Clyde Edwards-Hilaire ends up in the second round. But what's more likely? That or, like, the fourth or fifth? Because they have a decent year. Probably the fourth or fifth. That's probably more likely. Tua doesn't play, and he's going to at least hold value because we knew this was coming. He redshirted. Oh, this is the year. Fitzpatrick's gone. This is the Tua year. Here it comes. And his value boosts because we're excited about it. So, yes, Brian, I love you for being smart and saying what I knew you were going to say.
Derrick Henry.
Why you got to do that to me?
I mean, I do too, but Juju. Like, I mean, I love Juju. I love Juju. But, like, if Tua starts and is even 60% of what he probably will end up being next season, he's, I mean, it's his value. I mean, he'll be a top 20 pick in startups. Now, Superflex, again, we talk Superflex on the show. So, Vito, I want to make sure you...
We're
on a super flex now, obviously. But yeah, I mean, so I just, for me, I'm taking the quarterbacks 1-2 in every draft. If one of them starts tumbling, I'm trying to jump in. Trade Addicts 4, we had Joe Burrow start tumbling. He didn't end up getting picked till 7. I was trying to jump in and, like, it was.
I'm sitting here setting up this show and I missed that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it was Mike, who's in the chat tonight, I think is the one that got him at 7, which is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Man, I got him at 5 in one draft and thought it was insane.
Yeah. So, you know, but to me, I mean, you're taking those quarterbacks because those are the guys whose value is look at Josh freaking Rosen. Josh Rosen hasn't played really in the NFL. I mean, he played like a handful of games in Arizona or whatever, but I mean, the guy hasn't played essentially, and he still probably can get you some type of pick or something. I mean, he's not going to get you a first or probably even a second, especially in this class, but I mean,
yeah, early third kind of easily probably.
Yeah. And even if you look back a year, I mean, last year, I wouldn't have taken a mid-second for him. It had to have been a high second still, because quarterbacks just hold their value. If there's any chance that these guys can step in and start in the league, they're going to hold value in Superflex leagues. So I'm taking the two quarterbacks first. And here's the other thing about these two guys. So obviously, I mean, Joe Burrow just had the greatest college football season for a quarterback of all time. Okay? He did. I mean, it's you can't even argue it. It's the greatest quarterback season in college football history, hands down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tua has had three of the greatest quarterback seasons in college football history. If he wouldn't have gotten hurt this year, he would have been right there with Burrow. They were tracking pretty close. So, I mean, these aren't like scrub quarterbacks either, or like, it's not Justin Herbert. And don't get me wrong. I mean, God bless Justin Herbert, but it's not Justin Herbert. I mean, Tua and Burrow are elite prospects in my mind. So I'm taking those guys top two in every draft possible.
I concur.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
It's the stock analogy. You're at the 102, that's what you're paying for this stock. You could take Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the stock, Jonathan Taylor with the stock, but you know your Tua stock, he's not even going to play at first, most likely. So you know that that's going to be simmering, and then suddenly the excitement's going to go up, and God forbid Fitzpatrick does well, and then you're like, oh, Devonta Parker looks good. Preston Williams is great. And then you're saying, maybe next year they'll draft a running back, and he'll be throwing the ball out to the next Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So you know your investment's safe at the 102 with Tua. where you go, just hypothetically, nothing against him, you go a running back there that you love. He goes out the gate and has some sort of hiccup or issue. That stock already is leveling off and going down, where you know Tua is going up from 1-2 in a super flex. Where a running back, you need things to break your way for that to keep going up, because running backs go down so fast. It's like a penny stock. Sure, it can shoot up in 2 weeks, and you're like, oh, my God, here's an RB1 for Boston Scott. You know, it's like, but a quarterback in super flex, it's a slow burn. You know, it's a long-term investment, and then you say, you know what? I don't even need this quarterback. Maybe I'll trade him to some other desperate sucker who wants to overpay for this guy because he sees this stock rising, and he wants to buy in before it peaks, and Tua goes in and has a 4-touchdown game. You know, and then they're against the wall saying, we got to get this deal done because Tua's stock's going to pop, I think. Where a running back, it's like, the guy stinks for the first year. You're like, does he stink forever? I don't know. I don't believe. And then people will talk him down when you trade for the guy, you know? Mm-hmm. That's my take. Side take.
And it's the right take.
Oh, God, look at that. I'm on a roll here, guys.
Okay, so you should stop talking while you're at it then. All right, so let's.
He does that to me every week, bro.
every time he says something smart, I say just stop because you're just going to ruin it. So here we go. Here's the rest of the first round. J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Herbert, Cam Akers, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson. Super chalk, right?
Yeah.
One or two spots in another direction. Who the hell cares? But that's the rest of the first. I mean, yep.
No surprises. Right.
Here we go. Starting at the 201, T. Higgins, Henry Ruggs, Michael Pittman, Keyshawn Vaughn, Denzel Mims. How do you feel about those guys?
Reasonable. I mean, it's all reasonable. You know, Mims is like the hot second round pick now. I get it. You know, if you're in that spot, you're like, I'll take the upside. You know, nothing draw dropping on my end, at least.
I'm a little surprised that if I were to have guessed, let me just say, this would probably go Higgins. No, that would probably go, Higgins, Vaughn, Mims, Ruggs, Pittman. So these are the guys I figured would be there. I'm a little surprised at the order of it, but not enough that it really matters. But I think Vaughn has been going earlier than, clearly he hasn't because this is the average, but like I feel like I've seen him go earlier than this. Like I've seen Vaughn in the first.
Oh, yeah.
Trade Addicts Leagues, thankfully.
He was the first in the last draft, the draft I was talking about. I think he ended up going he went 107, 108. He went early, though, and I was like, oh, wow. It's one of those picks where you're like, I had all my guys on my list. I didn't expect that name to pop up. All my targets are still here for my next pick somehow.
Yep. Okay, so let's finish out the second round. Laviska Shenault, Brian Edwards, Brandon Ayuk, Zach Moss, Jordan Love, A.J. Dillon, Darrington Evans. I think it's a little early for Darrington Evans because the thing is, like, I want him on all of my teams. I never thought I'd have to spend a second on him just because, I mean, like we're sitting here talking about Derrick Henry. He's probably gone next year. And while that doesn't stop Tennessee from grabbing a free agent or drafting another running back, but he's that right now. Like if he shows well behind Derrick Henry, there's a chance he goes in as the running back next year. And that's, 21.
Question.
Yeah. Go for it.
Did the Evans, was there a Derrick Henry tie in there? Did the guy have Henry that made him jump up and say, you know what, I got to take Henry's handcuff now just in case something goes wrong with Henry?
Oh, I am not looking into that. I'm way too. Well,
but that sometimes when those curious picks happen, it's you look at the team makeup of the guy and say, oh, you know what,
his value is way higher than my value would be.
I'm just throwing that out there.
So the only thing with the late seconds there, I think I would put Ayuk over Shenault and who else was in the middle there?
Edwards.
I would put Ayuk over those two guys.
Getting higher and higher on Brian Edwards. Just because I think he's going to be the bigger target guy in Oakland, especially over Ruggs. I mean, I think it's going to be Edwards, Waller, and... No, you're shaking your head. No.
It's going to be Lynn Bowden. I'm telling
you. He's a running back.
He's a running back in NFL. He's not going to stay a running back. He's not going to be a running back. Josh Jacobs is the running back. He will catch balls out of the backfield. Yes. He's going to be Ty Montgomery, essentially. Like good Ty Montgomery.
Packers
Ty Montgomery. Yeah, Packers Ty Montgomery. So You know, I think Bowden, the problem here, right? The problem with the Raiders receivers is there's too many of them. It's just like the, Cardinals last year. You don't know who the hell's going to be the guy out of the rookies, right? He could
out of
be
anybody.
Yeah. It was nobody in Arizona. It's going to probably be somebody in where are they now?
Las Vegas. It's going to be Hunter Renfro. It's just going to stick.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Hunter Renfro and Lynn Bowden. Henry Ruggs is going to be like just he would catch a couple long touchdowns every year, you know. Other than that, I mean, I like Ayuk a little bit higher. I think he steps into a really nice situation in San Francisco. You know, obviously everybody's excited about Debo, but what's that?
I don't have faith in, like, I am fine missing on the intro price of Brandon Ayuk to avoid the risk, which is weird because you're usually the risk averse guy.
I'm fine.
Missing out on players I think are better. Like, I mean, what did we say? Ayuk is the 208. Man, I think we know Zach Moss is going to have a role. I'm completely fine taking him over Ayuk. Shenault is just more electric, though. I don't trust the Jags to use him. I just said I think Brian Edwards is pretty good. I wouldn't take Evans over him, though. Maybe. No. Okay, yeah. So that's where I am with all of that. Like,
I think the biggest negative for him is the mouths to feed in San Francisco right now, because everyone, you love Kittle,
team.
You love Debo, Jimmy Garoppolo, as a guy who owns him, I bite my nails if I have to start him for some reason, because he might throw five passes for all I know. Where you're taking, is the ceiling capped is the question, where these other guys now, while they might not be as good, and maybe over the course of a whole career, you say, oh yeah, he was a lot better. But when you're sitting there, you're saying, is that ceiling capped? Or even like an Edwards, you know, there's a chance that Carr starts slinging and dinging with Gruden there. And Edwards kind of takes a role where Ayuk, it's like you feel like that best case scenario is maybe he's getting five catches a game from Garoppolo, unless there's some sort of big, you know, shift in the way their offense is flowing. I mean, I like the guy. I would take him. Don't get me wrong. But that's my only opinion where I could see somebody saying, you know what? I like the floor, but the ceiling, I don't see a ceiling there.
Mike McKinnon in the chat. Shanahan is to wide receivers as Belichick is to running backs.
What about Chicago to quarterbacks? That's the real scary thing.
Except Pierre Garçon.
Yes, he was the only guy who just got fed.
So who's going to be Pierre Garçon in this offense?
I don't think there isn't. There's no one like that. Kittle?
I mean, Kittle.
He's closest.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're right. I mean, Kittle, you're right. Kittle's the number one option in that offense. There's no doubt about it. I just don't get, like, I don't get Zach Moss. I don't get Zach Moss over Brandon Ayuk, because Zach Moss is at best, he's in a timeshare running back situation with Devin Singletary. At best.
I'll take a 50-50 split on a running team.
Over a wide receiver, too, that has to beat out Kendrick Bourne?
But he's the third pass catcher. On a running team.
This is good debate. This is good debate.
Well, it's not because you're wrong and I'm right. So
no,
it's really a very
we
good
have
debate.
Differences of opinion.
Okay, but let's go through this because I don't want to hang on too long because we still have some trades to get to and we're over an hour already.
Yep.
So a couple of other people that I wanted to just sort of bring up. 301, Chase Claypool. Just wanted to throw him out there for you, Brian. Let's see. Also, Anthony McFarland, 306. I mean, that's worth the risk there. I feel like that's... Yeah, whatever, that's fine. Why not?
Yeah.
Lynn Bowden, like you said, at 309. Rob Gronkowski is in there at the 311.
if you need a tight end, I guess.
I don't know. Is there anyone else you guys were curious about off the top of your head?
Let's see. Dallas. Where did DJ Dallas go?
Well, I'm gonna have to hit the.
Yeah, you gotta scroll down. Go to page 2.
402.
What about Quintez Cephas?
Quintez Cephas, 412.
Yeah, see, I've been drafting him like late third.
Yeah, that's when you get into the end of the third, just go get your guy, man. Don't worry about ADP at this point. I mean, that's really what, like, if I weren't lazy, I would have gotten the early and the late, like, you know, the DLF has on their ADP, so you could see where these were picked. But I didn't care enough to do that. So sorry, everybody.
Yeah, the first tight end taken is Troutman. I lost his pick. Here we go, 310. Eno Benjamin at the 406. I had such high hopes for Eno Benjamin. Bad landing spot, and just, man, the NFL didn't seem to care about him. That sucks. I was a fan. I was hoping something was going to happen, I guess, more than anything else. Let's hit the Mr. Irrelevance. Joe Reed, wide receiver for LA Chargers, has the 52, tied with Bryson Hopkins, Michael Warren, and then there's a lot of people that are only drafted kind of once or twice, so we're not going to count them. Yeah, so that's the ADP I wanted to go over. We will have more precise average draft positions even next week. Let's face it, next week, next Monday, all the drafts are probably going to be over already, so we're going to have a full eight, you know, league ADP just because we're a bunch of freaking degenerates. Speaking of freaking degenerates, let's talk some trade addicts trades, Brian.
Trade addicts trades.
I said it once, but I'm going to say it again. Trade addicts leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 0.05 points for return yardage. We're going to go through these kind of quick because, I mean, it's like most of these are just pick for pick, so there's not really too much going on. But I wanted to give, like, I get a lot of DMs where it's just like, you know, I have the 101. What should I take for a trade back? You know, I have the 103. What should I do to get the 101? So I just wanted to throw some ideas, and you guys just pretty much say, yeah, good, yeah, bad for either side. So let's start with Trade Addicts 1. Here's the 101 for the 103 and the 112. Now, you have the 101. Now, this is a little different for you, Vito, because there's super. This is super flex, so there's quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Would you take the 112? To move back from Burrow to, well, let's pretend this is pure unadulterated RADP, to go from Burrow to Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, would you take T. Higgins?
See, for me, now this is I'm a trade addict, so this might not sound sick to you guys, but one thing I do as a sicko is I scout out and I'll make mock drafts of the guys in my league who I think they're going to take. So
yeah, smart move, very smart move.
At that point, what I would be doing is saying, all right, let me go chat with the 1-2. You know, if you're saying like you already know, you know, the 1-2 is taken to, I'm basically not getting that quarterback. You know, a lot of these, when you see these online, they're tough because it really comes down to team need. If you're sitting with like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson or something, yeah, trade down, you get it some skills players. You know, what are you going to do with Burrow? He could still be a stinker too. You know, you don't know for sure what Burrow and Tua are going to turn out. You already have great quarterbacks. But if you're in need of a quarterback and you're saying, you know, let me take Higgins and I'll get, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, to me, it comes down to the stock. Mm-hmm. I can get a running back and a receiver with Joe Burrow halfway through this season. You know, I mean, if he comes out stinks week one and then people get scared or gets hurt, it's different. But for the most part, you're saying, all right, his stock's slowly going to rise as long as he doesn't look terrible. Where I could probably trade him for a running back. Maybe Helaire comes out, twists his ankle, has a nothing season. Maybe Dobbins is on the bench, gets no carries week one and two or something, you know, and then these people are trying, like, oh, my God, I get Joe Burrow, get this guy off my hands now. And you could try to get in some – I mean, well, I like trading to set up more trades, as sick as that sounds.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, as I'm trading, I'm saying, if things go bad, how can I turn this trade around so it's not a total disaster on my part? So 101, I would probably stay. And say, you know what, I'm going to take the coveted quarterback, and then I'm open for trading on the quarterback here, guys. And, you know, maybe you don't get those rookies because T. Higgins, is he really that much better than, you know, I don't want to, I'm pulling off
bite
the top
your tongue.
Of my head.
I am a T. Higgins guy, so you better
talk. I know,
talk
but
right
I'm trying to think of somebody in the NFL now. Like, let's say we've never seen T. Higgins play in the NFL. So what would you say is a comparable player in the NFL that you think he's going to be like, be as good as? You know, who like
Randy Moss.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well. So I think
really
Joe Burrow. You know,
reaction out of Brian on that one, but he was just not. He did not care.
In that sense, yeah. But you know, but that's,
I think he can be Courtland Sutton
easily.
Absolutely.
Yep. But okay. So let's say he could be Courtland Sutton. You would still prefer Courtland Sutton over him, though. At like today, would you say if Courtland Sutton were in the rookie draft? So you're saying you draft Burrow. You know, maybe you're not going to get Sutton, and but you never know. Super flex, it's like you got people are desperate for the quarterbacks. You know what I mean? It's like it's the you got to get your quarterback fix in the super flex. Mm. You know, you want to be the quarterback dealer, not the quarterback buyer.
So Vito is right.
Oh, hey, I'll shut up now.
Vito is right in the sense that when a dynasty player is thinking about this type of deal, they are probably how the deal initially affects them is probably based on their team need. If they don't have a quarterback, they're going to draft the quarterback. This is, you know, it might not be enough. If they have three starting quarterbacks, two of them are studs, and the third is a Matt Stafford, you know, or something like that, then maybe they're going to be like, yeah, you know, I might as well, right? And pick up the extra asset. But what do we always say, Russ? What do we draft for?
Draft for I can't draft think of anything for, value, so, trade for need. So we, I was trying to be clever and it just did not work.
Yes, so talent or value. We draft for talent or value, we trade for need. So I'm this to me, I would want the 101, regardless of the situation I was in, because it's like Vito said, I mean, this quarterback is likely not going to lose value. You can probably sell him midseason for at least the same price, if not a much, much, much higher price. So I'm taking the quarterback in this one every time. I want the 101 in this deal. I think the deal is fair from a value. Like when you're just looking at the picks, I think this is the type of deal it takes to move back two spots. You know, it takes picking up a first in a strong draft class. So the deal is fine. I just personally would prefer the quarterback.
Clearly, both of you just missed out when I said let's answer these quickly.
That's not how I roll, bro. I don't go to bed early.
I do. I mean, Vito made a great point there, especially like the Trade Addicts League, stuff like that with Darrington Evans, where he said, check to see if it was a Derrick Henry owner who drafted him up. Rocky, one of our wonderful members of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, at Dynasty FF Addict on Twitter, runs mock drafts. So there's no bias in there. It's really just value. Hit him up on Twitter to see if he can give, because, oh, listen to Dynasty Junkies. They released their first episode last week. Hey, I was a guest on it. Another reason to listen. But we'll get that episode up on the network stream soon. But he goes through the ADP. We did the first two rounds. Or go hit him up on Twitter at Dynasty FF Addict, and he could help you out there too. That's another great resource. Because again, zero bias in there. It's really just for value. But we're going to move on. Now, here is one I thought was interesting, because it's pretty much what would you trade away for a 21 pick? Here was the 210 for a 21 second. I mean, I would do that, right? If you're stuck at the 210 and you don't really have another, you know, anything you want, get a second next year, there's a very good chance that second is going to be earlier than the 210, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Makes sense. Square and deal. If you want in, why not? You get a player now, you got you like. Perfect.
And would this be a pre-draft, or is this a during the draft where you already know?
Because pre-draft, that's weird. This is all during the draft. I did not say that in the beginning. And for some reason, every trade after this, I look to see who got picked. And I did not do that for this one. And I'm not going to go do it because I don't. Again,
I mean, I like it. End of the second round. For most people, there's kind of a tier fall off in the middle of the second round anyway. Yes. So the 210, you're probably like, do I want? He's okay. And then some guy says, you might get the 2-1 next year and you're going to be like, an hog heaven over there.
Yeah. Like you said, trade to trade again. That pick's going to get earlier next year. It's only going to gain value.
Live to trade another day.
Yep. Damn straight. We're going to go on to Trade Addicts 3 here. This is in the draft. Oh, I kind of already spoiled this one. It was traded up from the 108 and a 21 first to trade up to the 104 to take Tua. Would you trade the 108 and a random 21 first, because we're not going to play that guessing game, to draft Tua?
Well, I mean, first of all, team needs going to play into it. And the 1-8, was that, I mean, you might probably don't even know this off the top of your head. Was that the guy's pick? Was he the 1-8? So you're figuring his team could be on the brink of the playoffs, could fall off, or is that, you know?
No, his team was actually worse. He had a couple of first-round picks. He ended up with like 3 or 4 picks.
It's intriguing. If you're set at quarterback and there's somebody you like at it, who ended up going at 8? Did somebody fall like a lamb or somebody where you're like, ooh, that's a little exciting? Or was it, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of who. I think Lamb went 8th in my last draft, so I was, you know, totally shocked.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, 108.
Jeez, I wish that would happen in my other league where this guy's trying to trade me this one away.
Let's put the names to it. CeeDee Lamb at a 21 first for Tua. I got to be honest, I do that.
Yeah, if I had two quarterbacks that I liked and was like, you know what, I'll get rid of the injury risk. I'm kind of selling Tua high. I'm getting the number one, a lot of people's number one receiver out of the draft. I'm getting a quarterback that people like, but, you know, just to be prejudiced, he's a lefty who likes to run, who's been injured before. You know, there's a lot of risk into immediately. You know, he could come out and look like he stinks, and then you're like, okay, this guy might be a total bomb. Nothing against Miami, but they've kind of been looking for a quarterback for the. It's like with the Bears when the Bears took Trubisky. You're a genius if you traded him away. Oh, he's their first quarterback off the board. Oh yeah, okay, I'll trade you him for think of a great receiver that went in that draft. It's like, you know, Tua has the red flags. He has a lot of great stuff, but I feel like, I like it. I could live with it.
What do you think, Brian, real quick?
I would probably do it unless I felt like I was a bottom two team in the league.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Because if I had a chance at Lawrence or Fields, I would probably want to hang on to the 21 first.
I was talking it from the 104 side. I wasn't even talking from the one. Yeah, so I guess from the one, I do it from both sides.
Okay, so speaking of guys that are hurt and have red flags, I traded away Todd Gurley for the 202 and 206. Now, I wanted to throw some players for picks in here just so people could see, I'm holding on to Gurley. What can I get for him? Or just those kind of things. Now, I will tell you that I already said it in this pod, I'm a very big T. Higgins guy, and T. Higgins was there at the 202 when I did this. Like, it was the 202 was on the board. So I did it for T. Higgins, and I got the 206. I wanted Keyshawn Vaughn, but got sniped, which we'll talk about in a second. So I ended up getting Higgins and Mims for Todd Gurley.
I mean, realistic, what's your future take on Gurley? I mean, I own Gurley, and I'm saying, you know what? I got 1 year I'm excited for out of this guy. And if it doesn't go good this year, suddenly I have a worthless asset. Yep. So I don't hate it, especially if you have the running back depth, because Gurley's a 1 year guy. Higgins, you could be starting this guy 10 years from now. You do this. I have a big gray beard. I have a ponytail if I can't go to the beauty salon anymore. You'll have Higgins. Oh, my kids will be in high school. It's like we might as well. Gurley, my baby won't even be out of his diapers yet, and Gurley is going to be retired. I like it. I if you have the running backs, I think it's good. And you got your guy. You got Higgins.
Oh, I got my guy. I felt very good. Everyone in the chat was like, oh, big shocker. Russ traded in and took Higgins.
Now, were you happy? Like, obviously, Vaughn got sniped. I am
thrilled.
But when Vaughn went, were you like, this was worthless? Or were you like, okay?
Oh, no. I was happy, but I was still happy getting Mims. Though it was really a funny story Brian, what do you think of the trade? Well, value-wise for Gurley, what do you think?
I would have never traded Gurley for 2 seconds in a normal draft, but I think
this is not a normal draft.
No. I mean, Higgins.
Higgins. Love it.
T. Higgins and Mims. I mean, both of those guys are probably in most drafts, like at least back end of the first round talent. So you're getting too late first for Gurley, essentially, in a normal draft.
I'll take
I would probably take it, yeah. I would probably take the picks, too. I think Gurley is going to probably make a lot of people really, really upset this year, because I have a gut feeling. It's just a gut feeling. But I have a gut feeling that in the Atlanta offense, he is going to go absolutely bonkers this year.
Oh, yes. I completely agree. And I have a lot of shares. Just put it out there. Yeah. I mean, I still have a couple of shares. My TA3 team wasn't great. So that's really why I did this. I somehow ended up with Kelsey, Gurley, and another Ingram. And then I have like no wide receivers. I'm like, what did I do? I don't remember doing this. So that's why I'm like, let me get rid of Gurley. That's why I got the young wide receivers, because I figure I'm going to retool a little bit. So that's why I love this even more. But I wanted Keyshawn Vaughn just because I don't have a share of him yet. And then I'm 205s on the clock. And I pop on to, like I said, I was on the first episode of the Dynasty Junkies with Rocky and Dustin, who are both in this league. Rocky trades into the 205. He sends Michael Gallup and the 405 for the 205. What's Michael Gallup worth anymore? Michael Gallup for the 205? Does that work?
I know this is probably going to sound crazy too, because they just signed him to a long-term deal. I have a feeling that Amari Cooper is going to end up being the guy that gets squeezed out. I think they'll move. I think they're going to move. They'll use him this year with Dak, and then at the end of the season, maybe try to move him and so that they can pay Dak.
Right.
Now, the question is, though, do you really – everyone – like, Vaughn's been shooting up the boards here, but do we really believe in Vaughn? I mean, I don't know any of them yet.
Pure situation.
You know, that's the pure thing. It's situation. A totally situational thing. And Tom Brady, yeah, he looked great last year. But quarterbacks, they take a nosedive. It's like Brady is defying the odds. Father Time has never lost on any NFL player. It's like, what are the odds that Vaughn's getting more than a year out of Brady? To me, what I see happening, because here's the thing about this whole Tampa Bay situation. Part of the reason those receivers were so juicy and everyone loves them is because they were always playing from behind, flinging the ball downfield. There was so much offense going on. You know, Tom Brady's happy to win 17-10. You know, Keyshawn Vaughn, he could have 40 yards and maybe a touchdown, and Tom Brady could throw a touchdown to Gronk, and they'll be happy. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's a totally – Arians is great, and, you know, it's going to come down to the defense, where it's like, I don't know if Brady can still sling and ding like Jameis Winston. I mean, he'll throw less interceptions maybe, but Vaughn's going to be there maybe a year. I don't know. To me, I still like the value of Gallup. You're talking – you might have a deck. I mean – if you like Gallup, you know, if you watch him and you don't like him, I get it. But, you know, talent wise, I don't know. Gallup seems like he has a very good career ahead of him. And Vaughn, he's another stock guy where Gurley a year ago, you could have got maybe two firsts for the guy. And then what a difference a year makes, where now you're like, oh, 2 seconds. That's fair. Where, you know, Vaughn, if they stink, he could stink. He could have 500 yards and they couldn't run the ball like last year. Am I crazy?
No, I mean,
positive reinforcement, guys.
No, because I mean, Vaughn, he's a pass catcher, and he's going to Brady, where everyone thinks there's going to be another James White. I mean, that's the only reason he has value. Plain and simple. I mean, people sort of liked him coming in as a prospect, but no one was high on him, I don't think.
They should have been.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. So you're on the Vaughn side. You love this, then. At 206.
He's also a very big Gallup guy, so it's a little...
Ooh, so you're like, this is torn. You got to choose between...
This one's tough. this one's tough.
I mean, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, looking at a mid-second from Michael Gallup to me is... I mean, that kind of triggers me a little bit. I'm like, but...
Remember the draft and remember what just happened.
Yeah, exactly. And look, Keyshawn... I mean, do we remember what... David Johnson... Right. So David Johnson was drafted out of where?
I don't remember.
Northern Iowa or something like that. Or so, I forget. I apologize for not.
It's after
having
11,
that right
don't
in front of me. Keyshawn Vaughn ran for over 1,000 yards in the SEC, toughest conference in football, in college football. As much as it pains me to say, top to bottom. Big Ten's getting closer, but they're not there yet. And he played for the worst team in the conference. I mean, he played for Vanderbilt. So he's not playing with elite offensive linemen. And he's playing against defensive fronts that are pumping out 2 and 3 first-round NFL draft picks in, you know, Alabama and LSU. And, I mean, Tennessee has one every once in a while. Florida. So, the competition, right, was tough that he was playing against, and he produced. And now he comes in as Tom Brady's pass catching running back. I'm sorry. I'm here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And this is for me why I like him. I think he's going to win.
About J Mike. He's going to win. Say what you're about to say.
J Mike, I love you, bro. Rojo ain't it. I'm sorry. Rojo ain't it for me. So, so I believe Keyshawn Vaughn's going to win that job pretty early in the season. He might not win it right out of camp, but it won't take long. It won't take long, in my opinion. And when he does, then he becomes James White / Deion Lewis / whoever else you want to throw in there. Brandon Bolton. No, not Brandon Bolton. I mean, he's still in New England. Can you believe
that? He's still there. He's never leaving.
He's like 58 years old.
Those guys that play special teams that'll never, as long as Bill's there, they'll never go away.
Yep. But yeah,
Matt Slayton will outlive us all.
This is a good this is a good deal. It's a good deal. I mean, I think it's pretty close. I see Mike, our resident Bucks fan, in the chat. He doesn't like Vaughn, apparently, because he's saying, give me Gallup in the 2-5 all effing day. So, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But what really upset me was I was in the chat in the stream yard talking to Dustin, waiting for Rocky to sign on so we could start the podcast. And then all of a sudden the trade goes through, Rocky pops on. I'm like, what'd you just do, Rocky? Who are you going to take? And he's like, well, I'm going to take Vaughn. And I just screamed. I'm like, nope, not doing it. I'm not doing your show anymore. How could you do this to me? If I was your guest, you would let me get my guy. And then he's just like, boop, just drafted. He's like, sorry.
So real quick too, just to go back to kind of what I was saying, but so I brought up David Johnson and his small school stuff. All I'm saying about David Johnson is Bruce Arians drafted David Johnson too as a head coach. So he's been looking for that guy in Tampa since he got there. I think that Keyshawn Vaughn's that guy. We'll see. Time will tell. But I that's why I brought David Johnson. I'm sitting here going, I brought David Johnson up, and then I didn't say anything about anything related to what we were talking about, except for
I was going to let it go because I had no idea what you were talking about either.
Yeah, so yeah. That Bruce Arians drafted David Johnson. I think he thinks Keyshawn Vaughn can be that guy. Okay, David Johnson was damn good for Bruce Arians.
Damn straight. He won me a few championships that year. Okay, so we're going to do one more trade because I am getting tired. So we're going to do one more trade and then we are done because we had no listener questions today. Way to not pull your weight, audience. Like, what the hell? Oh,
I kind of gave you about 100 listener questions at the top of the show from me, so it kind of weighed out.
Hey, right? Man, it's the only reason the show's longer than 45 minutes, so thank you. Okay, so this last one was a Trade Addict 7 trade. It was Ryan Tannehill for the 201. What do you just think value-wise of that while I go and pull up who the 201 was, Brian?
I think it's...
Like, are you... Because he just got signed. It's 2 years, right? So, like, are we...
It's probably... He's probably worth a late first. So, yeah. I mean, that's... It's probably fairly close. Strong draft class. So, the 201 is a... 110 in a normal class. I think that's probably right.
It's Michael Pittman.
Oh, I would not. I want Tannehill over Pittman personally.
Fair deal. It seems like a nice fair deal. Both guys were probably like, yeah. One guy's like, I got my quarterback, and the other guy's like, yeah, I got Pittman. So it's the beauty is in the eye of the beholder sometimes with these trades.
For sure. I mean, I kind of want to see if I'm far too lazy to do that. I was hoping if I could just real quick see if the trade was like when it was on the clock or not. I didn't really stop and think about that, and I don't see it here on this main screen. And nope, not going to care anymore. So that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Sorry that if you were like enthralled in what Ryan Tannehill got traded on the clock or not, because that's just stay tuned. Oh, hey, I found it. Nope. Let's see.
So
Sunday, May 3rd at 3:14, Ryan Tannehill was traded for the 201 and not to the person who, and the pick wasn't drafted by the person who did that trade anyway.
Ooh.
So here's
a couple... I'm not going down that ladder.
I was going to say that. So there's a lot of nuances here. Who made the trade and what did he trade for that 2-1? Maybe is that haul better than a Tannehill? It could be a genius trade.
So I have a couple trades pulled up. So this is DLF Trade Finder. These are two QB or super flex leagues. Ryan Tannehill for the 202. Ryan Tannehill for Noah Fant. Ryan Tannehill for the 108.
I mean, that's early, yeah, but that's what it would have to be for me to send them.
Yeah. So those are just a couple of the ones that were Tannehill by himself.
Okay, so since Brian started talking, I actually looked. And then the 201 and the 302 got traded for the 208, 308, and a 21 second.
I'd rather have Tannehill, I think.
In the long run, Tannehill, yes, but I think getting a mid-second and a 21 second is pretty good for the 201. But I'm done. We're ending. so, Vito, thank you for coming on. You were awesome.
Thank you for having me on, guys. I mean, I love talking gambling, don't get me wrong, but I like talking fantasy football. It's like my other type of gambling I do.
It was really funny. Like, so Vito DMs me and he's like, yeah, I'm a casino guy, I'm a gambler guy and all this stuff. And I'm like, then why do you want on a fantasy football podcast? What the hell's going on? And then from that moment, he's been DMing me about trades the entire time. I mean, I'm completely here for it, but I'm like, why is this casino guy with casino in his handle want to get in a fantasy football pod? Oh, this is why. All right. Well,
we got legalized sports betting coming everywhere. You know, you got your DraftKings coming. So it's like, it's kind of the flavor of the week for me here. And I've been doing this so many years now. I want to thank you guys again for having me on the show. Like, I'm just a guy that DM'd you. And I mean, maybe you looked at my Twitter and saw my podcast and said, hey, he's not a total liar. But other than that, I thank you guys for having me on.
Cousin Vito asks me for a favor. I just say, yes, that's what I was born and raised to do.
And we'll see. Hey, maybe I'll come back again sometime. Who knows?
all right. Well, you never dropped the name of your podcast. What's like the name of your
Cousin Vito's Casino podcast?
Nice and easy. There you go.
You can go to cousinvitoscasino.com. I'm on Twitter at Vito's Casino. You can find me on Facebook. Just search it in the Google. I'm the only Cousin Vito Casino around there. So I pop up. And yeah, I love gambling, love crafts, love pie gal poker. I love free drinks. I mean, I'm a wild man. And Dynasty football, I love trading. So that's the fun of it is it's like I like trading for the sake of trading sometimes. And it's all about that stock value. So I can almost rationalize trading anybody if the value's right. Like when people message me like this 101 I have that the guy, oh, he's backing off from AJ Brown so fast over here, you wouldn't believe it. He's got McLaurin in the trade now. Let me put my phone.
I mean, I like McLaurin, but you step back and say AJ Brown is the only way I'll talk about this deal. And
I'm at an impasse. I might be going back to the 103, 108 guy at this point. And who knows? Maybe I'll take Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, but, I mean, why not? Yeah, sometimes just making the pick is worth it.
Yeah, but thank you. Because I've been bored, guys. I got no casinos to go to anymore. So this is great for me to come on the show, talk some Dynasty, have some fun. You know, there's only so many card counters I could talk to and pit bosses. It's like,
into this world. That's the ultimate gamble.
Very true. Little Sunny Boy. That's what we call it. I named him after my. I was like, I didn't pick a name till he came out. And then he came out. And my wife was like, he looks just like you. So I named him after myself. We're calling him Sunny Boy, though. Little Sunny. Isn't that beautiful? Oh,
now you guys, congratulations.
I know. Wow. I'd rather talk about the casino, but you had to bring up the kid here.
I'm far too much of a planner for that. I could never wait until we had his name hanging on the wall when he came out. I mean,
I didn't even fill out the paperwork. I had two copies of the paperwork, and I only gave him that one because the lady was getting rude with me and was like, we need the paperwork for the Social Security. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Yep. You know, I had a bunch of names, and I was like, here, take the one I filled out. Just it was my safety. It's like the college admissions process. I didn't fill out. I had my safety name, and then the lady harassed me, and they got the COVID at the hospital. You know what I mean? So they were like,
Daddy, how did you pick my name?
Like, well, you looked like me, and then the lady that came in made me feel bad about it. So I just gave her the paperwork.
She was yelling. I got flustered. I just wrote it down.
Literally, and I was like, here, take it. Just get out of here. Quit coming and asking me. It was like the third time she was there that morning, and I was like, you know what? This is his name. Here's his name. So I put more thought into my dynasty grades, apparently.
So a couple things before we get out of here. First of all, schedule release Thursday, which is exciting. NFL schedule release. Who knows if it's going to actually take place the way it's scheduled currently with everything going on. But that's something to look.
Cross fingers.
Yeah. And it's something exactly. Cross the fingers and hopefully we'll get a full schedule. But that'll be fun to talk about next week. And then also, if you guys are looking for some leagues, there's a really cool opportunity through DLF. DLF's partner with Safe Leagues and Scott Fish to create a brand new DLF Champions Cup series. We've been promoting it on the show here for the last couple of weeks. In the Champions Cup series, you're matched up in a Superflex tight end premium league with points and payouts awarded every year. Bonus is every third year, your cumulative points go up against a larger field to see who wins the Champions Cup. So go out and claim a team today and begin your journey to hoist the Champions Cup and claim your $1,000 grand prize. SafeLeagues.com/Champions League. I did it again.
Oh, you should. We should really write down the new shorter URL.
Yeah, we still have the old one on the sheet. We got to correct that. I will tweet out the new one. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in the safe league because I'm not going to do it fast enough here. I will tweet it out here tonight after the show, and a couple more times here throughout the week. So, check out the safe leagues. You can even probably find it through just going to safeleagues.com and search for the DLF.
Or just going to DLF,
series.
Probably.
Yeah, or DLF. Yeah, dynastyleaguefootball.com. And we're excited again about the network, man. I'm pumped about that. The Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. We appreciate everybody that supported us throughout this and whatnot, and the go aheads that we got and the support and all that. So really excited about that and what's coming. Excited to continue doing this stuff with you, my dude.
I just did a wink and a gun like anybody who isn't a patron can actually see.
What is that weird popping sound?
Yeah, what the hell was that? But hey, if you want to see me do a wink and a gun to Brian, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. That's what you call a transition in the podcast universe. many layers of patronage. You can watch this live stream as we go, hop in the chat. We've been mentioning it every once in a while. Also, there's the Cool Kids Club, our chat on GroupMe, which is always kicking. Lots of trade talk, lots of life talk, lots of just pure idiocy, just because it's fun. Why not? Lots of cool dudes in there because it's the Cool Kids Club. Ha, didn't even mean to do that. ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Grab some awesome swag from some of your favorite podcasts. Oh man, I have to start making some DAP network stuff now.
Woohoo!
Woo-woo! I can't wait.
10% of all sales from there go to Fantasy Cares. Speaking of buying stuff and having money that goes to Fantasy Cares, come on, Brian, hold up your bare wrists to the camera.
Bare wrists! Sorry.
He took off his wristbands.
My
daughter took off his wristbands. We have our Trade Addicts wristbands, neon green, navy blue. $5 per wristband. $2 of every wristband goes to Fantasy Cares. Just send Brian a DM. I don't want to deal with it anymore. At Brian Har FF.
Delayed shipping because of the coronavirus. Yeah,
because of the world. I mean, I think that's everything.
Well, I feel like the people really need to get on the Patreon because look what they're missing here. They're missing all these beautiful jerseys that I have behind me. I have this back. We got a Dick Butkus, Junior Seau, Sterling Sharp jerseys. I'll even hold up. Where'd my Devin Hester card go? Look at this, guys. If you're on Patreon right now, you're seeing this autographed Devin Hester labeled to 25. I bought it because I'm an idiot. I'm buying cardboard as an adult. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm home. I'm bored. The casino's closed. Help me. I'm buying trading cards. That's the point we're at now. And this AJ Brown guy is giving me trouble, guys. I don't know if it's going to happen. I told him I'll do it live on the show. I even sent a picture of the live stream, and I said I'll do it live for you. We'll see if that entices him before we get out of here.
But on that note, night, Brian.
Get out of here.
Night out, Al. Thanks, Vito.
Night, Thank Vito. You, guys. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Har FF. Follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.